Santa, ooh, don't do the steps. Oh, no, 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 no. Don't get that close, you know. He may pop up without you asking, you know. But it's like, you do this very basic stuff. Did you ever see people, you know, you hear people come over to me all the time, and they say, Ken, you've heard this 100 times. You know, you seem so happy all the time. I don't know what you do, but my program isn't working. So I hand him a big book and say, try ours, you know. You know, ours works, you know. Stop doing all this other nonsense. It's like you're changing deck chairs on the Titanic. You know, you're running over here, you're running over there. Come on. You know? Rearranging the furniture doesn't throw anything out. You know? Guys in my neighborhood know that. You can rearrange the furniture all you want. Put the couch here, the sofa there. You can do the whole... Hey, it's still the same stuff. You just got it in different places. The idea is to throw that stuff out. You don't want to develop a vested interest in your old ideas. Get rid of them. That's what this is about. Uncover, discover, you know, boom, get out of there. Discard, get rid of it. And then every now and again in AA, people were talking about heroes. You get to meet heroes every day. That's why I go to meetings. I get to hear some little bozo who 3 weeks ago couldn't do something, was afraid to attempt it, didn't want to even begin it, and now he's halfway through it. And I get to hear that he's halfway through it. And then he comes out the other side and he's a much better person. He'll never be the same person again because now he has the one thing that they can't give you anywhere, and that's experience. He now has experience on how to do something. And when you have experience, that's altogether different than having knowledge. You know, you can go to the library and pick up all the knowledge you want. You know, I got guys in my group, they can tell you very quickly the compound of water. H2O. They can break that down chemically for you. They can tell you what carries water. They can tell you where it comes from. But don't ask them to take a swig. You know? And I got other guys like Joe Jabops. You know, he gets up and says, I'm thirsty, I'm going to get some water. You know, he just walks over and takes it. These guys are dying of thirst. They know everything. Joe Jabobs just knows it's over there. You know, I'll go get it. So you watch Joe Jabobs go, he gets the water. He's not thirsty anymore. The other guy's still writing. You know, I'll call my sponsor, I'll inventory, I'll go to another seminar on water, you know. And I don't know about you, but I enjoy the freedom. I enjoy the freedom. I enjoy life to the point today, and someone said, I think it was Peg the other night, where you're just grateful. And you know, if you're having trouble, this is insider information, if you're having trouble finding God, you just try being grateful, and you will find yourself standing in the presence of God. If it's not the other way around. Some people think you find God, and then you get grateful. No, no, no. You get grateful, and then God is just, boom, he's there. You're aware of it. You have that conscious contact. Being grateful. Why ask for more if you don't appreciate what you have? You know, I don't have enough. What's enough? I don't know. When will you know? I don't know. You know, it goes on and on and on. And on and on. And it's like people just don't know what's going on. And I got these guys that they're just having fun. They get up in the morning, they go to meetings. We get up right away, we go screw something up. You know, you don't want to lose your skills. You know, like, go do something first thing in the morning. You know, I'm at a stage in life, I go in the living room, I forget why I'm there. Oh, sure, you can laugh. Particularly the ones under 30, you know, like, oh, I'll never get there. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. And that's the way life is. And I do all these nice things with nice people. I have a birthday coming up, and the guys are talking about what we're going to do and what they're planning and all this stuff. And you know the funny part of it? They think they're doing this stuff and that they're benefiting from it. And you know what? Just to be with them is enough. Just to go for coffee is enough. We don't have to talk about anything because we already have opened the door to everything. We don't have to pinpoint anything. We just have real, real simple conversations. And it's not what the person says, it's what they leave out. You just know what's going on. We have a language all our own. No wonder the newcomer gets confused. Newcomer comes in and says, like, you know, How do you win here? Oh, that's simple. You surrender. Oh, thanks. You know? Well, how do you keep this stuff? Oh, you give it away, you know? Oh, I'm on a roll now, you know? Ken, what do you do when you feel procrastination coming on? Hey, I put it off, you know? That's just the way I handle it. You know, I don't bother with it. Guys, the other day, Ken, you have trouble making decisions? Yeah, sometimes yes, sometimes no, you know? All alcoholics are punt returners. All alcoholics are punt returners. We like that moment of, you know, that guts call in the camera's eye. Now, you watch the difference between an old-timer and a newcomer is real simple. The ball goes up in the air. The newcomer is 10 yards deep in the end zone. And something tells him, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Because he doesn't remember what it's like to get hit. His little Tweety Bird mind is going, the glory, the glory, the glory. So he takes it and runs and dashes and avoids and gets out to the 2-yard line. Yeah. Where somebody really puts his socks in his ears, you know? And then you watch the same punt go up in the air. Only this time, the punt returner is an old-timer. And we yell, fair catch. We're not taking that hit. We know what it is to be hurt. And then we just catch it very gently. Bring it out to the 20. Then you give it to a newcomer. You know? Your turn, son. I got it this far. Gave you the easy 80. But that's what this is about. It's about having some fun and doing this stuff and getting on with life. You know, it's not about avoiding life, it's living life. Everything about this program is life. God is life. Everything about it is life. Service is life. You know, we pray for things. There's a chapter in here, a vision for you. It's not a dream for you. It's a vision for you. The difference between a vision and a dream is that in a dream, you get to work on reality. But in a vision, reality gets to work on you. See? In a dream, you can fly, you know, you're sexy, you do all this stuff. Yeah? You know what kind of dreams I mean. No? One of my guys the other day said he rented a porno film and he ran it backwards just to see the hooker give the money back. You know, like, don't you love these guys? I mean, they just come in there and they can't wait to tell you, like. And you're just so excited for them, you know? You know? And you know they have a few bulbs out on their marquee, and they know it. And like, and you're having fun. It's not about, it's not like the focus is there. You know? Some guy said the other day, he started into all this lingo about what the family he came from. And I mean, it was like watching somebody really milk a mouse, you know? So I told him, I said, you know, before you talk to me again, would you do me a favor? Would you go to the library and check out a book? He said, sure, what book? I said, Huckleberry Finn. He said, why? I said, Huckleberry Finn came from one of those families. He had an alcoholic father. And you know what? He lived a great life. He became better for all that stuff. He lived by his wiles. He just enjoyed life. And at a time when somebody wasn't inclined in his area to help a slave, he helped a slave. He had good stuff in him. And it was brought out by the fact that all this horrendous stuff was going on around him. He became stronger. He didn't become weaker. He's not damaged. He's God-filled. There's a big difference. Stuff doesn't come off the line. Oh, damage, damage, damage. I mean, sometimes I think God's making real shit when I go to some of these meetings. I mean, it's like, you know, excuse my French, but I get tired of hearing that. But you don't understand. And you know what, Toots? I never will. I just never will. You know? Grow up. You're here, you're sober, you're alive, you're in the game. Be grateful for that and get going on with it. Don't keep turning your head backwards. You're going to get a crink in your neck, you know? The game is right here. Get on with it. And come to some of our meetings where we have people, you know, collectively we got an IQ of 11, you know? You know, come to some of those meetings and just read the book. Take the steps that are suggested. Read some of the literature of our history. Some of the stuff that you're going through has already been gone through. If you read the literature, you'll see we've already done this. You're trying to reinvent the wheel. We've already done that. Now it's time to go on to something else. And I just love to go to these kind of meetings where you folks are all involved. I know you're sick. You know you're sick. You know? And I'm sick. But not sick in the sense that I'm damaged. I'm sick in the sense that I sometimes look at life through eyes that are myopic, you know? You know? I have a vein that sometimes runs down to my butt and it gives me a different outlook on life. You know, like, and then I come to a meeting and you just sever it. You know, it's okay, Ken, don't worry, we got it right here. And we sever it and we go on. And it's not about focusing on our holes, it's focusing on our wholeness. Our wholeness, our whole being. It, thank God we have these things that are somewhat wrong with us, because that gives us something to be in tune with other human beings. I don't know about you guys, but the longer I'm here, I see more about me than I say, oh my God, I didn't even know that existed. I didn't know anything relating to that. And then when some guy comes and shares with me that he feels that way about himself or herself, I have a lot more understanding for it. I have a lot more understanding because I can say, hey, I thought that way. I felt that way. How many of you in this room tonight have been on a 12-step call with your sponsor? Okay, take a look at the hands. Just take a look. I'm not to embarrass anybody, but I bet it's not even 10%, 15%, if that. Maybe 20. And you guys are probably doing better than most. No wonder sometimes people don't wonder what it's all about. I've been on a 12-step call with my sponsor. That was my first job in AA. Bedroom observer. You know? He'd call me and say, come on, Ken, we got to put the hit on this guy. So I'm watching TV. He said, yeah, I'll be there in a minute. So he'd show up and we'd go put the hit on this guy. And we knocked at the door and it was always the same. You know, some gal would answer the door, pre-Al-Anon, you know. Like... There's a world out there. Now, wait a second. I'm saying pre-Al-Anon. Don't hang me yet. And we'd knock on the door and she'd say, who are you? And we'd say, well, the guys from AA. And she always said the same thing. It's upstairs. So we'd go up to check it out. And it always looked just like one of us, you know. And I got to see my sponsor. The first thing he would say is, go sit in the corner. And I'd go sit in the corner, and then he'd pull a chair up next to the bed, and he'd sit there, and he'd start telling the guy about himself, just as was mentioned today. And then he'd go into a little bit about AA. And within a very short period of time, in actuality, I'd get a chance to see the real miracle of AA. One alcoholic with no profit motive going on a 12-step call and delivering the message of recovery to another alcoholic. And within a few minutes, the bed would stop shaking. And then a few minutes more, you'd start to hear the guy say, yeah, I felt that way. Yeah, I've done that. Yes, I've been there. And then, like Lazarus, if not that night, the next night or the next day, that guy would rise up and come with us to a meeting. And he would commence the process of recovery. Not the process of denial, but the process of recovery. In fact, if you read our book, it talks about being recovered. It's not always a recovery, it's recovered. You know, we've recovered from the seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. We are recovered alcoholics. We have recovered and been given the power to help others. It's about getting well here, folks. It's not about perpetually trying to figure out what's wrong with you. You know, you can do that forever. That'd make a hell of a headstone. Spent his whole life trying to figure out how sick he was, you know? Oh, yeah, that's what I want on my stoom, you know? Like, yeah, right next to dead, you know? And then I would see this guy within a very short period of time doing the same thing that I would do. He'd be carrying the message to somebody else, and he'd be showing up at meetings. And, you know, there's a continuity in my sobriety that's uninterrupted. And it's the continuity of sponsorship, It's the continuity of attending meetings. It's the continuity of growth. It's the continuity of reading the big book. It's the continuity of working the steps. It's the continuity of recognizing a power greater than myself on a daily basis. That's the continuity of my recovery. In a couple of weeks, as I say, when I take my token, it will be given to me by a guy who was at my first meeting back east. And now he's my neighbor in California. Just one of those deals. Bang shot. God does just to show off. And you thought it was this. And then there's a fellow there who made the 12-step call on my sponsor, and he'll be there. And we'll, maybe 120, 150 of us will go out to dinner. And there'll be people there that I sponsor, and they'll bring along guys that they sponsor, and they'll bring along guys that they sponsor. And believe me, don't misinterpret what I'm saying. This has absolutely nothing to do with Ken Devaney. This has to do with one sober alcoholic being involved with other sober alcoholics. It's not about the personality, it's the principle. It's the principle of the thing. And I get to be part of this every day. I get to do exciting things. I go to ball games. We play cards, and if you lose them, we give you good cards. You know? newcomers don't understand that. You know, we play four or five hands, and if a newcomer, because he can't play, loses, then we kind of mix and match the cards. What do you got, an ace? Give him an ace. You got a king, you give him a king. And, you know? It's not about winning. It's about playing. It's about enjoying. It's about being together. We bowl. Some of us can't bowl. Some of us can't play volleyball. Now it's volleyball season. But we all go out and do this stuff. And we do it together. And while you're doing that stuff, the pressure isn't on you about, well, how's it going with you today, Joe? You're playing, and Joe will calmly say, I think she's leaving. And you go, oh. You know? And somehow the dialogue starts. And it doesn't finish there. And the door is open. And you say to the new guys, a lot of new guys who come in there, they want to look good, and they're just so afraid of being touched. And what I say to every newcomer, and I hope they hear it real clear if you're in this room tonight, just like the body needs food, the soul needs love. The soul will wither up and die without love. And that's the great thing of AA. That's the healing power of AA. We bring love to people who seem to have trouble loving themselves. Not in a narcissistic kind of way. We say, come on in, we got a seat for you. This is good. We're doing this stuff. And we're not drinking. And they're just like you. And they start to laugh after a while. Not in the beginning, all of them. Then we say funny things to them, like, this is a spiritual meeting. Is that chair saved? And they'll go, no, but we're working on it, you know? You know? And then, like, you have your little sign in the back there that Sherry made, be a verb. We got t-shirts with that on, be a verb, leap before you look, you know? By the time you look, you could have tried it, you know? Take a risk once in a while, you know? Do something different. Drive the wrong way to work. Not the wrong highway, but, you know, try another way. Do things differently. Add some spice to your life. Don't make slipper vision the focus of your life. Well, it's Tuesday night, and Tuesday night I can't go to meetings because this program is on. Turn off the slipper vision. Get out there and pretend like you're alive, you know? Get a life, you know? And don't buy books that are confusing to you. You know, don't do that. Get the big book and read it. I know it's tough. I know they hide stuff in there like, ooh, I wonder how it works. Ooh, let's see if there's anything in here relating to that. Ooh, what do you say we jump on this, how it works? Might find something, you know? Ken, is there a solution? Ooh, let's see. I don't know if it's in here. Let's see if we can find it, you know? I'm having trouble with God. Ooh, I wonder where we'd find that. Ooh. You know, in my neighborhood, there's an Italian saying. And the word is ugats. And ugats means less than nothing. And when you're running around doing all the stuff that most people are doing, you're getting less than nothing results. And if you start doing the things that are suggested in the big book and start working with other people and start enjoying the things that are going on in your own life. You know, I lost my job. Oh, good, there's a better one. You know? Instead of saying like, well, that's it, I might as well just lay down and get run over. That's it. That's the end of it for me. Not only a flat last week, but a battery not working this week. You know, I've been a gambler all my life. Could be I'm a big loser in the next couple of months, but I've been a gambler all my life. And there has to be something in your life for you to have a life, I believe, that you have to be willing to put everything on the table for. Just one thing. You have to put everything on the table for. And hopefully if you're an alcoholic, sobriety is that one thing. That you're willing to give up whatever is ersatz. Whatever is becoming the substitute. Whether it's a he or a she, whether it's a job, whether it's doing whatever. You have to be able to give it up. Guys in my group now use ersatz for BS, you know. They think it's a cute word now. So if somebody's really going off on a bunch of junk, they'll say, sounds like ersatz, Ken, you know. And the newcomer says, what's that? You'll find out. Keep coming back. It's an insider word, you know. I'm going to wind up because I know you got all kinds of stuff going on and I need the rest. But I have a friend, he's deceased now. He couldn't get sober and he ended up taking his own life. And he was from India. And whenever he came into my house, he would put his hands together and he would say, Namaste, Ken. And when he left, he would put his hands together and say, Namaste, Ken. And Namaste, literally translated, means the God in me recognizes the God in you. And although we may have a lot of surface differences, I think it's totally impossible, but I might have even said something to offend you tonight. It wasn't intentional, it's just what I said. You probably heard it incorrectly. But save your amends, it's all taken care of. But the God in me does recognize the God in you. I was in a situation a couple of months ago, and I had to do a deposition. And it was the darndest thing. If I had said something a certain way, I had a chance criminally to recover some money. But if I said it the way it should be said, I'd lose a lot of money. And I sat at home, and I went through this unbelievable process of fear as to how I was going to say the lie and then be able to live with it, you know? And I went through this process, and I went through this process, and finally, being a little whiner, I called my sponsor. And, you know, this man has a way of saying the right thing at the right time. I guess that's why he's my sponsor. And he just said, when you got here, you had nothing. And you stayed awake a lot of nights because you didn't even have a clear conscience. He said, if you end up with nothing again but a clear conscience, you'll have a soft pillow. And he hung up the phone. That was the end of that. For him, you know? So I was in this room with these lawyers and we got to this point. And it just went right. It just went right. And I came home and I called him and I told him that. And he said, I never had any fear about it. You know, I never had any. I said, well, you're a better man than I am, Gunga Din, because I had some fear about it. But you know, I'm at a point in my life now, and I say this with all the honesty I can muster. I'm at a point in my life now that if you took whatever it is in any phase of my life that I have, and you were to leave me my sobriety with the God I have right now built into it, I have a starting point. It would be a little inconvenient. It would be a lot of things that I maybe wouldn't want to do, but it would be the idea that it would be okay. It would just be okay. And I have the experience of having that now over a lot of years. So if you're new and you're sitting here tonight and you're totally confused, you're definitely in the right place. And if you think that you do one turning point and then you get a roller coaster ride the rest of the way, talk to your sponsor, you know. But I'll tell you this also, that there's absolutely nothing you have to be afraid of, because the fear that you're generating is nothing but ersatz. It's stuff that's getting between you and God. And if you can say to yourself, with all humility and honesty, I don't know the answer, I don't know how any of this is going to come out, but God keep me sober and stay in my life, and you'll be okay. It's just that simple. I want to thank you for letting me come here tonight. I've enjoyed you very much. I've enjoyed this weekend immensely. It's always nice, as was said, to meet new friends and to see old friends. I'm going to have a good Father's Day. I've been in contact with my kids before I left, and I'll visit with one when I get back, and I visited with the other one before I left. They're healthy kids. They're living life. We went out for my son's birthday, and one ordered a vodka martini, and the other one ordered a gin martini. And then after that, they ordered iced tea. I felt the same way. But I had a chance when I divorced a number of years back in 81 to raise these youngsters as a single parent for a while. And God does have a great sense of humor, because when I initially got sober, I was separated from my family for almost 18 months. We lived apart because it was just better that way. And then my wife decided to go in another direction, and I had a chance to raise these kids at home. And we developed a friendship that's just unbelievable. They knew I knew nothing about really parenting full time. And so they helped me. You know, they would say, if you really love us, you'd get pizza. You know, like... My son came home with a C. He was a BAAB student, and he came home with an interim report of a C. And I just said, oh, a C. And he said, what do you expect? I come from a broken home. You know? And now that kid on the 18th of July will be opening in the play, a play up in Whittier Theater, where he'll be a dancer, tap dancer and singer, and he's got the lead, and anything goes. And my other son, you know, he's just going along doing life. And when I'm with both of them, they're just so funny, because the one who's in theater and single will say, I'm so happy that Kenny is doing what he's doing. He seems so happy, but sure isn't me. And then when I'm with Kenny, he'll say, boy, I'm sure glad Keith is in theater doing what he does, but sure isn't me. And you know, that's what it's about. It isn't you, so do what you can do. And whatever you do, you know, just stay in touch with another alcoholic and you're going to be okay. When I got sober in New York, we used to give out Tie Tacs, and they were in the form of a triangle. Still do? Two. And they had these deals, and they gave you a Tie Tac. And on this Tie Tac, it had the AA logo, triangle. And in the middle was a dot. And at each end of the apex of the triangle, it had AA. And at the top, it had G for God. And they used to give you this thing, and they say, you're the dot in the middle. And if you keep one hand in God and one hand in AA, you won't have any hands to pick up a drink. And it's just that simple. That's a very basic thing. Take real good care of one another. I love you very much. God bless you. Thank you.